Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we'll be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 8, which says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And we've been looking at in our last few episodes, this idea of this care that the Apostle Paul speaks of related to the members of the body of Christ. And as he starts to describe this care, he starts speaking about how they were willing to impart it unto them, not the gospel of God only. So that it's going to go beyond just this idea of preaching the gospel of the grace of God to them and getting them saved, because it has so much more that's associated with it. Now, when we look at this idea of the gospel that he's speaking of, it's important for us to really realize which gospel that Paul is speaking of, because there are many gospels that are actually spoken of in Scripture. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, because this is going to be the gospel that the Apostle Paul calls three times in his epistles when he declares my gospel, that there was a gospel that was specifically given to him. Something we also see in the book of Galatians when it starts talking about the gospel of the uncircumcision, that there's a specific gospel that's very much contrasted with what he says the gospel of the circumcision. That gospel, the gospel of the circumcision, is the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah that had been prophesied to come for the nation of Israel. Paul speaks and declares what the gospel of the uncircumcision, the one that's his gospel, here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to start here right at verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And right there in this passage, this is the gospel message that the Apostle Paul declares is the gospel message is given to everyone during this dispensation. We have to put our trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Putting our trust in that and that alone is what actually gives someone salvation today. There is no work that can ever be associated with the gospel message that was given to the Apostle Paul. And that's why you see him over and over again stressing this idea of this gospel message that's been given to him, because it's an important part of that ministry that we have. When we understand exactly what the will of God is during this dispensation, I want to go over here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, to where we'll see Paul actually lay out exactly what the will of God is. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 4, and it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So the will of God is that all of mankind would receive salvation, but there's another step that also goes along with that, is that all men would come unto the knowledge of the truth, so that individuals would not only have salvation, but they would have everything that starts to come along with that during the life that they're living today. And individuals, you know, sometimes will take this thing of, well, see, it's God's will that all will be saved, and, you know, that salvation means it's going to come for everybody no matter what, and leave out the idea of to come unto the knowledge of the truth, and just start say, well, you know, as a result of their salvation, they'll have that knowledge of the truth. But the reality is not everybody's actually going to come unto that knowledge of the truth, and not everybody's going to actually receive salvation. Paul understood the responsibility that he had, and that's what you see. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 3, to where we'll see Paul here in this passage actually lay out exactly what the responsibility that he saw that he had was here. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 7. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So here you see Paul talking about this idea of making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It talks about how this information was hidden from individuals until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul to give to the Gentiles during this dispensation. That's why it's called the unsearchable riches of Christ, because you cannot go back into other books outside of Paul's epistles and get an understanding of what the dispensation of the grace of God means. You can't find Paul's gospel laid out anywhere before the Apostle Paul, because if it was laid out there, it was no longer could be called unsearchable, because somebody could search for it and find it. It's only described in that way, described as a mystery, because it was kept secret until it was revealed to Paul. Paul understood this responsibility of making all men see, that the responsibility was to be going out preaching this message of the grace of God, to give people salvation and everything that comes along with that salvation in order to help individuals, when it says to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see Paul describe this responsibility over here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, to where you'll see Paul give some terms that are associated with this idea of making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, because he's going to lay out exactly what individuals are supposed to do here. We're going to start at verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So you see Paul using these terms, the ministry of reconciliation, which has been given to us. You see, that's committed unto us as the word of reconciliation. You see him identifying the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, the idea of it being an ambassador is that we are the representative of Christ here on earth. So the information that we should be communicating to individuals would be exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ would want us communicating to people today. What he would want us communicating is the things of what Paul's laying out here. The ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, the information we find in the books of Romans through Philemon. This is what we should be communicating to individuals today, so that way they can, you know, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that people can understand exactly what God is doing during this dispensation today. That's why you see Paul describe the role and tell Timothy what he wants him to do. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, to where we're going to be going here to the last epistle that Paul writes. He's writing to Timothy, giving him some information as he knows that his time is short and he's going to be offered up. You know, in chapter number 3 of the book, he lays out, here's the dangers of what's coming for the local assembly. Chapter number 4, he starts off with the issue of, here's how you prevent this from happening. The very first thing he tells him is preach the word in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. But I want to skip down here to verse number 5 of this chapter. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So here he's telling Timothy that he's going to have to do the work of an evangelist. Now, you know, if you have read through the book of Ephesians and you start seeing the gifts that are laid out in Ephesians chapter number 4, you see how there's a gift of an evangelist that's given there until the time that's laid out. And it says, and I'm going to just quickly read these verses here so that way we can understand exactly what these gifts are being talked about here. And this is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Paul lays out that there's these five gifts that have been given: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12 lays out the reason why these were given, and it's the idea of the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. So there was a responsibility that individuals that were given these five gifts were supposed to have related to the body of Christ. And then in verse 13, Paul lays out when these gifts are going to come to an end. He says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And individuals, you know, the unfortunate thing that happens sometimes is people say, well, you know, the gifts of apostles and prophets have been done away with, but the other three gifts, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are remaining. Now, Paul lays it out here. This is an all or nothing thing. So if these gifts are remaining, there should be individuals who've been given the gift of being an apostle or a prophet. And I'm going to say that all of these gifts actually are completely done away, because we have something that gives us the unity of the faith, because we have a completed word of God. We have the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We have that measure. We have all of those things. And when the Apostle Paul was completing his last epistle, which was 2 Timothy, which completed the word of God, the gifts were fading away. And that's why he had to tell Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. He had to tell him to make full proof of thy ministry. You know, you're going to have to go, you're going to have to do some things in order to be carrying out this ministry that you're supposed to have, that ministry of making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that ministry of functioning as an ambassador for Christ, that ministry is carrying forth the word of reconciliation. It was going to be work that Timothy was going to have to do as opposed to it being a gift. That's why you can start to see the prayers that Paul offers up relating to communicating this message to individuals. And let's go over to Colossians chapter number 4. And we're going to see the first of these two prayers here that Paul's going to mention related to the giving of the word of God here. And here in Colossians chapter number 4, we're going to start here verse number 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. So Paul, talking about this idea of, you know, what it is that he's supposed to be doing here, and he's saying, you know, pray that we would have this door of utterance. Pray that we would have the opportunity to be able to share the gospel of the grace of God with individuals. Pray that we would have an opportunity to share this information related to the mystery that's been given to Paul. You know, because there are plenty of opportunities that are actually there if a person is actively looking for them to function as that ambassador for Christ. And Paul's saying, you know, just pray that we would have these, you know, and then no matter what situation it is. And you can see in Paul's life that even at the times when he was thrown into prison, he was still preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He was still functioning in this role of being an ambassador for Christ. He didn't let the situations in his life affect the responsibility that he had as a member of the body of Christ. So that's why you can keep saying, you'll pray for this door of utterance to be open. But it's not only just praying for that door of utterance. There's another prayer that actually has to be offered up with it. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 6, to where we're going to see what the Apostle Paul is actually going to add unto this idea of just praying for these opportunities to be able to go out and preach this message to individuals. And here in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to read here starting at verse number 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So here you have Paul, our apostle, who actually is coming out and praying here and saying, you know, not only do I need this opportunity to be able to preach this message to people, but I also need a prayer to boldly proclaim this message. And this is our apostle, the individual who understood the responsibility that he had and saying, you know what, pray that I can boldly proclaim this message. Now, for some people, it's very easy for them to go up to anybody and just start sharing the message of what God's word says. For others, it's, you know, very difficult for them to actually start to talk to people until they actually have, you know, some sort of a relationship with them and then say, okay, now I can feel comfortable to share this message. Paul, our apostle, saying, pray for this boldness. So that way you can boldly proclaim this message to the individual that actually needs to hear what it is that the Word of God is actually saying. Because, you know, as we already talked about, it's God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to receive salvation. God wants individuals to come onto that knowledge, that way they can be living the life that's going to be pleasing unto Him. And the only way that people can live that life is by taking the Word of God into them, allowing the Word of God to work and produce the change that actually needs to happen. That's why you can see the prayer that Paul offers up. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. And I know we've been looking at a lot of these prayers that Paul is offering up, but you can see how in these prayers that Paul is giving the doctrine that we need to understand and know how it is that it's supposed to have an impact on the lives of individuals. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 9. It says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, as you see Paul laying out this prayer for these people in this assembly, you see how the very first thing that he's praying for them is that they would grow in the knowledge of His will, that they would have increased wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the only way that that happens is by a person studying the Word of God rightly divided. And as they're studying the Word of God after they're saved, then the Spirit can take that information, compare the spiritual things with spiritual things, giving individuals the understanding of what the Word of God says. And as they're getting that understanding, it's going to start to take root in who they are. And as it takes root in who they are, it's going to produce what verse number 10 says, when it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. The idea is that as we grow in that knowledge of what it is that God would have us to do and the doctrine that's laid out, that the doctrine is going to impact who we are. It's going to impact the walk that we have. Because as we're taking that doctrine in, what we're going to realize is the fact that it's no longer us that's the issue. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to allow Christ to live through us. And when Christ lives through us, then we're actually pleasing unto God. Then we're doing the things that God would have us to do. And that's why Paul's talking about this idea of this increase in knowledge that they would have. The end result of it would be what we've seen. We're going to look over in the book of Philemon here to read a verse. It's, you know, in the very last epistle that Paul wrote, we're going to read verse number 6 of the book of Philemon, which says, "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." And the issue being that the individual, the believer, is the communication of their faith. It's not only the words that are coming out, it's also going to be represented in what it is that they're doing, because the Word of God has actually had an impact on who they are. That's why Paul can describe over in the book of Philippians the idea that the believers are supposed to be functioning as lights in this present world, because we have the truth of God's Word having an impact on us as we're coming unto the knowledge of the truth. And as it's having that impact, it's actually changing what it is that we do, because we're no longer doing the things that are pleasing unto man. We're going to be doing all the things that are pleasing unto God. And that's what Paul intends for us, and that's why he's writing all these things, speaking about what it is that's supposed to happen. Now, we're going to finish looking at this and then continue on going through this verse in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information on how to join our Sunday services live on Facebook as they're being broadcast. We have information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. So we would love to have you partake of these other tools in order for you to come unto the knowledge of the truth and grow in it, understanding that the Apostle Paul is actually speaking about. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything that you've heard in our broadcast, anything that you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.